This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Packer, Eric McClain, Otto's in the Christmas decoration room, Robert. We got Chester Fuller. I'm assuming Clifford's good to go down there in Cartersville, Georgia. What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Big weekend.
It's happening, great weekend. Boys. It's time for some football.
That's right. Football Fridays. That's why you bring me in.
Well, apparently.
We're here to talk about it.
And, you know, 1 week from today, we're road tripping, me and you.
I cannot wait. Listen, some people
South
don't know
Bend,
what's going
Indiana.
Down. It's going down big time, and I cannot wait. First time. I've never been to South Bend before.
Shall, here we go. Next Friday, the Chariot of Champions is good to go. The Pac-Mobile. ACC Cross Country Championship.
Are you nervous?
No.
You're excited.
Am I nervous? Do I look nervous?
No. That,
do I ever look nervous?
I'm a little scared about that, honestly.
Come on, man. We're going to have a blast doing this thing.
Oh, goodness.
All right, we got stuff to accomplish today. We are covering every game known to man. We had the big soccer match last night, North Carolina, Florida State. 2-2 tie. Don't understand why we have ties, but we do still in sports. I don't get it. That's a whole. That's a summertime topic.
That's right.
We gotta never should ever have ties in sports, but nevertheless, it was some kind of event here on ACC Network. Everything's good, but we're going to talk football nonstop. But before we do that, now you come up here. You're up in the now. Was the West Durham suite? It's now the Eric McClain suite.
Oh, it's changed.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
I've made it.
I mean, Durham's out.
I made it.
Durham's out.
Made it.
Durham's out. I mean, you know, I come up today, you're eating muffins, you're drinking.
That's like, true. I made myself at home.
You're making yourself
there,
at
there
home.
There is not a better hotel, a better suite
no.
than that one right
You got
there.
Your home floor.
That's right.
Life's good.
That's right.
But to make it even better, though, you got a chance to hit the links yesterday.
I did. A little Quail Hollow action.
And that's not, I mean, listen, for folks that don't know, I mean, the locals would know.
Right.
But Quail Hollow is like esteemed. This
it's
is like PGA Tour-esque.
Yeah.
Locale.
Yeah, so my boys, Wes right there, Wesley Cook, and Chris Davies. Shout out to Chris Davies getting us on there. It's such a beautiful course. I mean, it really is. And just to play it, they just had their big members tournament. So it was pristine.
Members only.
Members only tournament. There's big Chris and Wes. So Wes hit an 81. I mean, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
That's a real golf course
that's
now.
I mean, they get paid to play there.
Yeah,
sometimes.
This is a like – world-class
right.
joint is what this is.
It was unbelievable and a great time. I did not shoot an 81.
Well, sure you did.
I had
but
a couple
you still
of,
probably
I had
like
an extra
six
an
or seven more holes ago.
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
it. I get it. I've been there.
You've been there before.
I've been there, done that. What'd you shoot, Pack? 73. Oh, wow, congratulations. Yeah, but the back nine was really tough. I hadn't seen it yet. But it's a gorgeous spot.
It is. It really is.
So, man, what a life, huh? Quail Hollow in
and
the afternoon.
You get to hang out with you all morning.
Come hanging out. By the time you showed up, Chris right. Taylor had hit like seven home runs against the Braves. By the way, real quickly before we get to football, it's still available. I'm not giving it away until they're gone. Braves, listen to me, Atlanta Braves. Last year, you were up 3-1 against these dudes. This year, you're up 3-1 against these dudes. Had a chance to bury them last night so I could give away the hat.
Didn't happen.
They're coming back to Atlanta. Hat's still available. All you got to do is send me a creative tweet at Mark Packer. I'm giving this bad boy away.
That's a great hat. One of one. That is custom.
And by the way, my man Matt Leinart, who I love to death, this is a bet that I lost to Leinart from Fox Sports. He's a big Dodger guy and big Giants guy. He saw the hat and he goes, Pack, I'm embarrassed for you. Why don't you get a real hat? I said, oh, excuse me, big man, out there in La La Land. How about you sending me one if you didn't
That's
like
right.
if you didn't like the garb?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasted $30 on this piece of crap.
I don't know. It's worth more than 30 now. Well, like I said, exclusive.
It's got masking tape on it and a message. So if you want to partake, you can. All right, so that's that. All right, your first visit. You mentioned your first visit in Notre Dame next week.
Yeah.
We're going to give you something because there's some road trips this weekend for ACC football that are intriguing. I mean, you know, when you have the expansion of a college football conference, whether it be the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, whatever, schedules get disruptive, right? I mean, you know, all of a sudden you don't have the Big 12, which is really kind of perfect until they did their thing, where you see everybody every year. When you take a snapshot of the schedule this year or this week in the ACC – it's interesting to see how often you see that opponent, right? Clemson Pitt, first time ever in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Doesn't even sound right.
It's so strange. And really, when you have some, even that are considered maybe rivalries, that because they're cross division, they don't get to play each other. And you know what? It does kind of stink. Like when I look back at my career, clearly never played at Pitt. They're just doing that for the first time. I never played Carolina at Carolina. And there's one more, a lot of brain drama right now. I can't remember what it is. But it's nuts that you don't, in a five-year span, being at Clemson over Virginia Tech. I never played at Virginia Tech. And so it's so weird that, you know, this can happen. And some really great ones this weekend. Some first and some haven't happened in quite some time.
Well, I know that, and I got Clemson friends like you do that are making the trip. And they're like, man, I've never been to Pittsburgh before. And to me, as a fan, that was always the cool thing. Talking about as a player going into different venues that you'd never seen. But I loved it as a fan. To say, oh my God, guess what? Circle the calendar on October 23rd. We're going to make a road trip to fill in the blank.
Right.
And so I know there's a lot of Clemson folks that are really excited about seeing Pittsburgh for the very first time.
At least before the game starts.
Well, who knows? Who knows how this thing's going to play out? At 3:30, we'll talk to Sean McDonough, who's covering it later in the program, and Pat Bostic and all those guys. But you know, I'm sure that folks have turned on the tube. You've seen a gazillion Steeler games. You've watched some Pitt Panther games in the set. Setting at Heinz Field. And, you know, so yeah, we're going to finally see the Tigers make their very first trip to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Panthers are favored, which is unique, given the fact the Tigers haven't been an underdog in an ACC game since Lamar Jackson showed up in Death Valley. He turned out to be a pretty good player. That was an incredible game.
It was. It's so cool to see. Clearly, this is the Steeler Stadium, but how they flipped that thing. I mean, you wouldn't think, if you didn't know that, you've got the color, you've got the blue in there. That's great looking, man. I'm excited to see this game and for Clemson to go up there for the first time ever. It's going to be a lot cool.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the game and get in greater detail with all these games. But just going to go through this weekend's schedule to show you how infrequently teams see each other.
Yeah.
And it stinks, I think, as a fan. But, hey, in this day and age of the expanded conference layout, that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you don't see somebody for 6, 8, 10 years, whatever the case may be. But Georgia Tech, Virginia, we had the big documentary on Monday night, which was great. But they saw each other in 2019, which is, oh, it's okay. Every 2 years, I mean, you see somebody. I can live with that.
Right.
It's not a big deal. Boston College at Louisville also happened in 2019. No problem with that whatsoever. Again, 2 years removed. You can deal with it one way or the other. We got Wake Forest. We talked to John Curry. In case you missed John yesterday on the show, we're going to replay that interview for you later in the show. But Wake Forest is making a road trip to Army, which I can't even imagine how beautiful it's going to be at West Point. Number one, it's a great trip.
Fall.
Oh, setting's fantastic. Yeah. But 2015 is the last time the Deacs and Army hooked up from that perspective. And like I said yesterday, if you're a Wake Forest fan and you're on the fence about making the trip, go. Seriously, right. Go. I mean, it is just spectacular. And you're just walking around the grounds at West Point. I don't care if you go to Annapolis, Colorado Springs, whatever the case may be. You go to one of the
beautiful
service academies. It's just an incredible experience walking around. And the football is going to be terrific, too. Miami, NC State. How about 2012?
Nuts.
The last time NC State at Miami.
Yeah.
2012.
And those are the weird gaps that I'm talking about. There's been a couple of senior classes that have never done this, never made this trip. It's so strange to see. And I know those guys are excited. NC State excited to go down to Miami. It'll be an interesting game down there. You and I both have thoughts on this game, but an interesting crowd too. That's
what I'm kind of intrigued by. Yeah. There's so many parts about this game that I want to see. I mean, NC State, do you give me another solid back-to-back weekend? Really, I mean, they had the complete complimentary game against Boston College on the road, right? Halftime, we weren't sure who's going to win the game. Second half, total domination.
Yeah, had to have something, and they got it.
They got it.
A spark.
And now you take it back on the road. You know, when you have a good defense, I think you can do that.
Defense travels.
That old adage is so true.
That's right.
But I want to see what Miami gives me in this game. Is it waving the white flag that, hey, we're 2-4, we're going nowhere, catch you later? Or is there a sense of, hey, we're embarrassed by this?
Right.
You know what? Yeah, we know NC State's a good team, but they're coming to our house. And the Wolfpack, like you said, has not been to Miami since 2012. I want to see, number one, how the crowd responds. I mean, you know, there's 1,000 things to do in Miami, man. And it's a great bandwagon town in terms of whether it be the Dolphins, the Heat, the Canes. When things are rolling, it's awesome.
Yep.
But when things are a little choppy and rocky, like it is right now, 2-4, you know, Canes have been 2-4 since 1997. Mm-hmm. So what's that going to look and sound like?
And I think, you know, we'll dive into it clearly more later, but just looking at how Miami does respond is going to be very interesting. We've heard a bunch of stuff about practice, a couple of guys in the portal. You know, this is going to be a big defining moment, I think, moving forward for the Canes. And just, I mean, do you even show up? Are you even there to play the game and have a chance to win? Or is it just going to be Steamroll City?
And don't you think you're going to know that early? Because NC State's going to be
You'll find out.
State's coming in there physical, right? I mean, Dave Dorn preaches it. We're gonna win the line of scrimmage. And they're playing with so much confidence and momentum that you know NC State's going to punch them right in the face in the very first and go, okay, you want to play today or what? And so I think I think you're going to know early with Miami. Are they in for the fight, or is it just going to be like Olay? Hey, time to hit the beach. Catch you later.
Yeah. And so when we went down there in 15, which everyone knows what happened there, as you just said, first play, I said it's over, boys. I mean, we're driving guys 10 yards backward, almost a touchdown run from play one, and they weren't ready to go that day. And so if that happens,
and that was a noon kick, right?
Right. It was awful. It was nobody more Clemson fans than anybody else.
No energy.
No. You had to make your own.
People were barking before the game. Right. Isn't that the game?
There was a fight before the game. Yeah, and that was the good sportsmanship game. We had to walk across the field. Everybody shake hands, and certain people didn't shake our hands that day.
And it was go time.
It was bad.
And it got ugly.
Yeah.
And that was the really end of it. Quick. And that was actually the end of a regime.
It was
for Miami.
It was that day.
Game set match happens. We also have the old Big East showdown, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. Yeah. And here's how weird this whole scheduling thing is. You got two teams now in the ACC. They've known each other from Big East days. But it's the first time since 2003 that Virginia Tech is hosting Syracuse.
That
makes no sense.
It's so wild. But it's good. It's great to finally have it back. And you know, we talk about Lane Stadium. So cool for Syracuse to see this. I'm not sure if it's going to be the same Lane Stadium, but man, these gaps of time, this one by far is the strangest. The fact that they play each other all the time in this conference. And by the way, look at this, just getting after it. Virginia Tech probably not looking like that on Saturday, but man, good to get them back on the schedule hosting a team like Syracuse.
And that one kind of feels like dire straits for the loser. I agree. To Wes this week.
Yeah.
You know, given where those two programs are, I mean, Syracuse has had three straight weeks of 3-point losses. They could have won every single one of those games, did not, even though they're light years ahead of where they were a year ago. And then you got the Hokies, back-to-back home losses, the Notre Dame game we've talked about last week. Quite frankly, they're just not competitive against Pittsburgh. And now you go for, hey, another home game before you really hit the road in November for the last five on the road. Kind of an important game for Virginia Tech to show a pulse, don't you think?
It is, yeah. And momentum-wise, going into the schedule that they have moving forward, but also just for the team to gain confidence. I mean, it has been a tough year for Virginia Tech, offensively, big time. But then the defense just back and forth with identity, who they are. They have a big statement to win this game. When you look at what Syracuse does, they run it. Hey, if we're Virginia Tech, we have to make the necessary adjustments, the necessary schemes. Don't go play cover three. Don't go pass defend. You need to worry about running, stopping the run, filling that box up.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot of aerial display in that game.
By either team.
Because I think both of them think, hey, you know, we're just going to line up and shove it down their throat and see if they can handle it.
Yeah, smash mouth football.
We're going to get into all that stuff. And also, Florida State hosting UMass, first time since dirt. That's not surprising. Non-conference game. The Noles should get the W, have a three-game winning streak heading to Death Valley next week, but we'll talk
about
that later.
First time in a long time. 17, I think, for a three-game winning streak.
And they had a four-game winning streak then.
Yeah.
So we got all these games. We're going to cover every single one of them. If you have a call, we'll take it. 844-SAY-ACCN. Eric was talking about offensive football. We're going to talk about offensive football coming up next. And we're going to break down some numbers. Your eyes might pop out of your head when you see some of these based on what's going on in the ACC as we get ready for week 8 of college football. Come right back to you. It's Packer and Durham. Eric filling in for Wes. You guys right here on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer in Durham. Eric McClain filling in for Wes on this beautiful Friday. Show number 486 for anybody keeping score. 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get your calls here momentarily as well. Eric, we're just sitting there talking about, is your offense offensive? There have been some crazy storylines in the league this year with teams just getting off to really tough starts. I mean, we are now heading into week 8. Is it as simple as, hey, it is what it is, or can you fix something this late into the year?
I think it's different for different teams. You know, there's certainly some instances where we're just looking at these offenses and it hurts to watch. It truly does. They're making offensive football look so difficult, and it's not. And then you see teams like Oklahoma, Ole Miss, North Carolina at times where it's just, man, this is Pitt especially right now. It's so easy. And I don't know. You know, some of it, I think there is player, there is personnel where, okay, it could be figured out. And then others, it's just like, it's just not there. It's just not there.
Well, we're going to go through some numbers here. And when you take a look at the screen, if you're watching us as opposed to listening to us, you may find your favorite team and go, yowza, what are we doing? I mean, we got to get a first down. Let's move the chains, find the end zone one way or the other. But when it comes to offensive efficiency, we're going to throw a graph up here and just check out the numbers. Now, nobody's surprised by Pitt, right? They're averaging 48 a game. Life is good. Kenny Pickett's under center. 21-1 is the ratio of touchdowns and interceptions. They get the ball, they're going to score. Sam Hartman, Wake Forest, ditto. Brennan Armstrong, out of sight at Virginia. So, I mean, those guys at the top, you know, they're doing their thing. Maybe surprising NC State. Devin Leary really playing solid football, especially the last four games.
Yeah.
12-0. That would be the number of touchdowns, interceptions. But as opposed to those guys that are moving up down the field, look at the bottom of the ACC.
You can't have it. I mean, when you talk about the biggest brands, the brands that the league needs to be strong, the bottom five include Miami, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia. I mean, the blue bloods of the ACC in terms of who you think was going to take the steps. And a favorite in Clemson, a semi-favorite, I say semi because they probably shared it with North Carolina, and Miami at the bottom, back. That's not good. That's not good.
That's a problem. I've said it since we started this show that for the ACC national brand, the conversation, the narrative of the league, Clemson's been a standard, right? That's a given. They're having a down year for Clemson. They're still 4-2 with a chance, but it doesn't look like the same Clemson we've seen that's dominated this ACC and been to 6 straight college football playoffs. Clemson's a given on that stuff, but Miami, Virginia Tech, Miami, you three guys have to be good. They have to be good this league. And when you look at the offensive numbers in an era in which offensive football is dominating the landscape, and those four teams are in the bottom five slots, offensive efficiency, that is a problem. That's a concern.
It is. And for Miami, of course, you have Derek King, you know, going out and what they were hoping he would be. And honestly, it's a little bit head-scratching still because they return back 92% of that offensive production. Now, injuries have certainly played a part. The schedule, you know, rough start. We spoke about that a million times, getting off to a tough start with Bama and then the other out-of-conference, Michigan State, App State. So you know, tough to get going there. And then, of course, Florida State and Clemson just not holding up their end of the bargain. I would bet that we will see Florida State's go up. You know, these last couple of games, we've seen that offense look like a totally different team than the first couple of games of the season. So I think of the bottom five, I think they have the biggest chance or the best chance to climb. But still, man, those four have to figure it out.
And for Florida State, they're running the football, which is great. They're protecting the quarterback, which are fundamental things.
Well, it helps when he can run all over the yard.
Right, no doubt. I mean, Travis, he was on with us.
Special.
He can flat out get it going. You know, we can give you numbers with efficiency and all that stuff, but really the name of the game is, do you score? Right? It's all about scoreboard at the end of the day. So with that said, how about ACC points per drive?
That's a big drop-off from Duke to Clemson and Virginia Tech.
Oh.
I mean, massive.
Yeah, the difference from spot 12 to 13 and 14 is a off the cliff.
Right. And then vice versa for Pitt. I mean, look at the giant lead that they have there. So it really is interesting to see those guys just right at the bottom. The Clemson and Virginia Tech offense, it's just flat out bad. There's no other way to describe it. And especially for the Tigers, you know, everybody wants to pinpoint one thing, Pack, and it truly isn't. It's such a conglomerate of things. And same thing for Virginia Tech. I mean, you think of a year ago, so dependent on Khalil Herbert. I mean, he was truly Mr. Do-It-All, kind of like Syracuse this year with Sean Tucker. And now that he is gone, it's like, who steps up? What do we do?
Well, when you see that far right number, football bowl subdivision rank, and Clemson's 110 and Virginia Tech's 111, to put it in perspective for folks that don't know, there's only 130 teams playing big boy football. And when your rank's 110, 111, it tells you everything you need to know as far as the big picture. And we can give you numbers and stats, which we're doing right now, but the object is to score.
Right.
And when you see points per drive, that tells you everything you need to know. You can't figure out a way to get it in the end zone. And, you know, I know for both Virginia Tech and Clemson in particular, hey, we put together drives, you get in the red zone,
right,
kicking field goals.
Right.
That's a killer.
It absolutely is. And you look at the home game against Boston College, they had to have scored, and they couldn't. Clemson could not get it into the end zone. They had to settle for so many field goals. And at the end of the day, that time is going to run out where that doesn't help. Maybe this weekend. Your points are at a premium against Pittsburgh. And so if you're not scoring touchdowns, it's going to be a very long day. So for the Tigers having to have their best performance, and I think even with Virginia Tech and going against Cuse, I mean, they've shown that they can score. Now, of course, we saw a defensive battle against Clemson, but I think two teams that to win this weekend are going to have to look the best by far offensively. Clemson, Virginia Tech have to figure something out, or they're going to lose.
And how many games have we watched with Virginia Tech this year where, hey, they moved the ball, they got in the red zone? I mean, how many plays did they run against West Virginia?
Right. West Virginia, Notre Dame come to mind very quickly.
Immediately, right? And those are two games that, you know, hey, we're in position to win the game or control the
both
game.
Both times, yeah.
And you just could not finish. And you've got to be able to do that. And that's the difference between being, hey, we're 5-1 or 3-3.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the deal.
Yeah.
No, you've got to be able to do that.
It absolutely is. Especially those two examples. I mean, win was there. It was absolutely there. And you just can't get into end zone. And so what that does is that swings the momentum to the defense. I mean, we were live and in Blacksburg. And when they did not score a touchdown going into the second quarter, I believe it was the start of the second quarter, when they had to settle for a field goal, it was like some air was sucked out of the stadium. And Notre Dame is hype. I mean, they're jumping on the sideline. They're feeling good. Then they score 14 unanswered, and it's just like, this is a different ballgame.
Yeah, why is this close?
Right, right. It shouldn't have been. Yeah.
And, you know, the thing, too, with both those teams in particular, you're playing good defense.
Right.
I mean, your guys are getting the job done. And, you know, that's the other thing. You put so much pressure on your defense when you know your offense can't score.
Yeah.
Every possession's a big deal to your team to say, listen, we got to hold these guys out, man. We got to shut these down, because otherwise it's going to be three and out next time we touch it.
Yep.
It's a real problem.
It's kind of like, you know, Virginia, but the opposite side.
Right.
That offense is feeling so much pressure to score every time because our defense can't stop anybody unless your name is Duke. Then they stop you pretty well.
All right, we're going to give you another stat, which I think is intriguing. It's called drive distance. That is, hey, what do you do when you do have the football? And again, the numbers do not lie. I mean, it's one thing after 1 or 2 weeks, you throw some stats up there and you go, well, it's still early.
Right.
You can tweak it. Hey, we're now into week 8, right? We have enough sample size now
to know who you are,
to understand what you're doing or not doing.
Right.
Right. And Virginia Tech's drive distance is 26.8 yards per game. Mm. 26 yards. That's 112 out of 130.
Right.
In the big picture.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not the defense has given us the short field. We don't have anywhere to go. I mean, it's just stalling out, three and outs, and punt. You can't move the ball, or you're hurting yourself. You're going backwards, and that'll kill you. I think the biggest indicators of a successful team or a successful offense, looking at that side of the ball, is what we just showed, that the points per drive and the yards per drive. And when it's that low or that bad of a ranking, I mean, anybody could tell that this is not a good offense.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we just said, when you're not going anywhere, when you do have it and not scoring, and you get a bunch of three and outs, all of a sudden your really good defense is right back on the field. And when you're on the field for 35 to 40 minutes a game, that's a headache.
Yeah.
Those guys eventually wear out and go, and hey.
That pressure, I mean, it's unbelievable pressure. Fatigue sets in. I mean, when you're out there for so much more time, it's tough because you have exactly what you just said, Pac, that pressure of perfection. If we let them score, we might lose. So it's just people are uptight. You're in the wrong spot. You're looking at different things. And it's a tough way to play football. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to play that way.
No
doubt. Hard to win, for sure.
Well, that's the thing. And when you look at the teams at the bottom of these lists, there's a lot of teams sitting around 500 that would have, could have, should have. Right. Any kind of offensive consistency changes your entire season. So, again, it's week 7 to week 8. We're getting late in the game. We'll see what happens. But we talked a lot about Virginia Tech and their issues on the offensive side. When we come back, though, our man Andy Bitter is going to join us from The Athletic. And Andy has watched a bunch of Virginia Tech football. And, you know, one of the things I want to get into with Andy, as we've talked about, is can you close at home? Lane Stadium, great reputation. But, man, the Hokies have a tough time beating teams with pulses lately. We'll get into it. Andy Bitter of The Athletic next as we head to Blacksburg. It's Packer and Durham on a Friday. You guys right here on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. No Durham today. Eric McClain filling in. Wes, of course, has a game this weekend. He's got Boston College, Louisville. But we're going to go to Blacksburg first.
Come on.
Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
You just got back from Blacksburg. Syracuse is in town. We mentioned first time Virginia Tech has hosted the Orange since 2003, which is kind of ironic. But we've got our man, Andy Bitter from The Athletic, going to join us to talk about the Hokies. Andy, first of all, good morning. Good seeing you again. Man alive, are the Hokies finally going to hold serve at home? It's been a rough, rough time trying to win games at Lane Stadium.
Yeah, I'm not making any guarantees. I think they're a 3-point favorite in this game, which doesn't give you the most confidence. On a neutral field, these are probably pretty even teams. And that's kind of amazing to say coming into the season based on how bad Syracuse was last year and how much was expected of Virginia Tech this year. And it just hasn't gone that way. It's a bad offense. And when you have a bad offense like this, you don't expect much against anybody because you don't know how many points you're going to be able to score.
Andy, you talk about that offense. What do you attribute that most to? Clearly, losing Khalil Herbert, who was so instrumental in that. It feels like to me just no one has stepped up and been able to fill that role.
Yeah, I think the running game has been a disappointment, but I think the bigger issue is at quarterback. They haven't had somebody who's been a dynamic quarterback this year, and that was a position they thought would be pretty good. I know going into the season, Justin Fuente had talked up Braxton Burmeister quite a bit, said this was the best passing offense he's had since he's been here, and it hasn't been. It hasn't been anywhere close to that. And it's a matter of making reads and getting the ball out there for receivers to make plays. I think he's got 6 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year right now. So he's on pace for a 12-touchdown season. Virginia Tech's always been pretty good at the quarterback position, even with a revolving door there. They've gotten production out of that spot. And we're talking about at least 20 touchdowns a season, and I think 4 of the 5 seasons, if not all 5, that Justin Fuente's been here. So they're just not getting that right now. And without that, I think that the running game suffers. Losing James Mitchell hurts in the running game, too, and the passing game. But it's just a mess from top to bottom right now, and I don't know if there's a route out of that.
Andy, that's where I was going to go with you. And not to put, you know, one guy changes everything, but James Mitchell is such a versatile player, right? Blocker, he can run, he could catch. And we were just talking about going back to Virginia Tech season. The West Virginia game in the red zone, so many chances to punch the thing in and did not. Notre Dame game, chance in the red zone to end it, did not. I got to figure if James Mitchell, again, if's the biggest word in sports, if James Mitchell's there, that ability to say, listen, he's a matchup headache, he can run, he can catch, you got to figure that could have made a difference for this team offensively when it mattered the most getting points on the board.
Yeah, I think that was a real big loss. I mean, he was like consummate team leader, too. I mean, that's a guy you want in that locker room that's leading you on things. But you look at him around the goal line, he's a red zone target. They hand the ball off to him. That's actually how he got hurt, was on a play like that where he got hit on the knee. He's an excellent blocker, and I think Justin Fuente mentioned that this week, is he maybe didn't appreciate how good of a blocker James Mitchell was on the edge, and that affects the rest of the running game, too. So, yeah, so many things that he did so well, and you lose that to this guy who's probably going to be drafted coming into the year based on his talent. And you don't have that behind him. The guys behind him are solid, but not sort of that next level tight end. And that really hurts. That loses an element of this offense.
When we talk about the offensive struggles, now that kind of feels like it's leaking over to the defense. And the feeling of we have to be perfect. We have to win games for our team. Does it feel like that stress is a real thing, I guess, internally with the team?
Yeah, I don't know if the stress is there. It's just it's such a difficult task. I mean, against Pittsburgh, the defense played pretty well in that first half, and you just felt like eventually the dam was going to burst. Like the offense couldn't get them anything. Their back is against the wall on every single drive, and you know, eventually a turnover deep in their own territory, Pitt goes in and scores. Then Pitt gets the ball back and scores right before halftime, and it's 21-0 at the break. And you go, how is it a 3-touchdown game? This defense has played pretty well. It's like, well, the offense has given you nothing on the other side. So, you know, that was Justin Fuente's promise when he came here to Bud Foster's. You don't have to play perfect defense anymore to win. And it feels like it's back to square one right now. This team has to play perfect defense to win because the offense just isn't giving it anything to work with.
Andy, we're going to put some stats on the screen regarding drive distance. And I think this kind of goes to exactly what you're talking about and what we were talking about 10 minutes ago, that when you get the ball, you got to do something with it. Right. And look at these numbers. This is around the ACC. And you go down, you see Virginia Tech in the 13th spot, 26.8 yards per drive. 113 out of 130 teams in the Football Bowl subdivision. The good news for Virginia Tech is at least you're not last in the league. But it is a problem because it does, you know, trickle down to your defense. That puts all that pressure to try to hold serve while your offense tries to muster some kind of points.
Yeah, I think if you would have told Hokies fans before the season they'd be a yard better than Clemson in yards per drive, that would have been like, all right, we'll take this.
That's
pretty good, actually. It's been amazing how bad both of those offenses have been, actually. And that's actually one of the more favorable numbers for the offense. I think they're 120th nationally in total yards per game. So, yeah, it's just a struggle all over. I mean, it's not even something where you can lean. Like last year, they couldn't really throw the ball all too well, but they could run the ball exceptionally. This year, they can't do either of those, and they're not getting points. And, you know, they've had pretty good field position because their special teams has been so good. That maybe makes these stats look even worse because they haven't been able to do anything and capitalize on that field position.
We all know that Virginia Tech loves to go man-to-man. They really play that aggressive defense. You're playing a team in Syracuse this weekend who just loves to run the ball. It's what they do. Have you heard any schematic changes or from the coaching staff saying, hey, we're loading this box up, and we're going to say our guys on the edge are better than yours. We're not worried about any coverage over top, and we have to stop Sean Tucker in that run game.
Well, they haven't come out and explicitly said that. Surprisingly, they don't like to give us their game plans ahead of time. I know you guys know Justin Fuente. He's very open at press conferences talking about that stuff. But I think it's left unsaid that you know, that's what they're going to do. I mean, this is not a passing game on Syracuse that scares you too much, but it's a running game that certainly does. And not just Sean Tucker, but, you know, that quarterback is a big dude that can run the ball too. And running quarterbacks have been an issue for the Hokies defense over the years. So yeah, this is a pretty radical change from what they faced against Pitt last week. And you know, Pitt's throwing the ball all over the place and Kenny Pickett's in the pocket and eluding pressure and throwing it down the field. And you're just not going to see that as much against Syracuse. You're going to have to load up that box. You're going to have to be sound with your tackling. And this is going to be a black and blue type of game. You're going to come out of it pretty bruised, I think.
Andy, as far as the second half goes, this game in particular, I think more than any game in the league this weekend, feels like for the loser of this game, boy, oh boy, it's going to be a rocky end of the season. It just feels that way. I mean, here's Syracuse, obviously improved from a year ago, but they've had three consecutive games. They could have gone WWW. They lose them all by a field goal. Wake Forest in overtime last week, Clemson the kick, the whole routine. And doing it on the road is different than playing in the dome for Cuse. But you know what? They've got a dude in that backfield, and Sean Tucker is a grown man who's run on everybody but Rutgers this year. And for the Hokies, as we pointed out, back-to-back home losses. I don't know what kind of crowd you expect in Blacksburg tomorrow, but it kind of feels like when you look at Virginia Tech's schedule, man, you better get this one. Because for the last five on the road, away from home, Like I said, for the winner, hey, you move on to the next week. But for the loser, this could be really a rough November.
Yeah, it's a lot of games on the road for the Hokies coming up. I actually wonder if that's maybe not the worst thing for this team. They played at home. Some people have been booing. I don't blame them for how bad the team has been. But I feel like sometimes you go on the road and it has a bit of a galvanizing effect on a team. It's us against the world, and it's supposed to be that way. You're supposed to hear boos when it's that way. So perhaps not the worst thing. But if you're Justin Fuente and this is one of the last two home games you have, this is something you want people to make an impression on this home crowd. You know, public sentiment is against him right now as it is, and it's not going to get better if you go out and lose to a team that you know, hasn't won an ACC road game in a couple of years, I think. And I know Syracuse is frisky. They're much better than that 0-3 record is right now, but people are going to see Syracuse, last place team in the ACC last year, and 0-3 in the ACC this year, and that's not good optics if you lose a game like that. That's going to be pretty rough. And you know, they have a chance here. These next, I think four of the next five are against teams that have yet to win an ACC game. I mean, the schedule lightens up for the Hokies. I just wonder if this offense is good enough to take advantage of that.
Well, Syracuse has lost 10 consecutive games to ACC teams. So that puts even more pressure that, hey, you don't want to be the dude ending that streak. But Virginia Tech's got to learn how to close at home, which sounds crazy given the reputation of Lane Stadium. But as we pointed out, 16-18. Versus the Power Five and Notre Dame during the college football playoff era at home. That just doesn't even sound right.
Yeah, it's not the Terror Dome like it was, as Corey Moore once phrased the Lane Stadium. Here's another stat. Under Fuente, they've lost by more than 20 points at home six times in 6 years. Frank Beamer did that once in his last 10 years. And the one loss that he had was against Miami in 2014, where it was 30-6. I believe it was a Thursday night game. And that sort of felt like a mood changer with, in terms of the end of Frank's career, where you're feeling, I don't know if he can get out of this, if he can turn this thing around. And that's happened six times under Fuente so far. So, yeah, they haven't been good at home, but they haven't necessarily been embarrassed at home like they have been the last couple of years. It's a very strange place to be.
You know what else is bizarre about all of this? It just shows you what an upside-down year it's been in college football. After week one, you beat North Carolina. The crowd was incredible. It reminded you of the old, good old days of Lane Stadium with the noise and having an impact on the game, and defense was out of sight. The offense did enough to take care of business. Who would have ever thought after week one of this season we'd be having this conversation heading into week eight regarding Virginia Tech?
I guess this is why we don't crown the national championship after week one. We should maybe pump the brakes on a lot of stuff and go, all right, that was an interesting game. We'll see how this turns out. Because now you look at North Carolina, maybe not that good. Probably not that good. I mean, the record suggests they're not that good. So this happens to us all the time in the media, right? We get ahead of ourselves and, Texas beats Notre Dame a couple years ago and, oh my gosh, Texas is back. And it turns out both the teams are pretty bad. So, it's a strange place to be, but I guess we should just wait and see how things turn out a little bit before we jump to conclusions about that.
We don't ever do that. We don't jump to conclusions.
No, we don't. Right?
Come on, man. What are you talking about? You know how we roll this media gauntlet we've got? Listen, have fun tomorrow. We always appreciate the time and enjoy the football, my man.
All right, I will. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Andy Bitter of The Athletic does a great job covering the Hokies and everything else. And it's a huge game.
It is.
I feel like it's a huge game for the guy that loses because, good luck the rest of the way. That's going to be tough.
It really is. And we threw up that schedule there for Virginia Tech. The fact that they are going to be road dogs. And Andy's saying, okay, this might be a good thing. This might be a good thing to travel away to really just say, hey, we're all we got. This is it. It's us. Can we come together? Can we do this thing? But, man, a big-time opportunity for either team and, you know, for the loser, tough sledding ahead.
No doubt. All right, when we come back, conversation I had yesterday afternoon on SiriusXM Channel 84 on Off Campus. The one and only Dabo Swinney joins us. And you'll hear what Dabo's got to say about his first road trip to Pittsburgh. Clemson and Pitt should be a good one tomorrow afternoon in the Steel City. You'll hear about Dabo coming up next right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network. And, of course, streaming live on that ESPN app.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Friday, 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll get to your phone calls too, I promise, and every single game this weekend. Some good ones. We'll get into it. Dabo Swinney, as I mentioned, joins me every week on our off-campus show on SiriusXM Channel 84. And we started the conversation talking about the gritty win against Syracuse. And you know what? The Tigers once again found a way to win.
We're kind of the – it's a tough way to have to live, but we're the cardiac kids right now. We've had four straight one-possession games, and we've won three of them and obviously lost the one in double overtime on the road there. But, you know, I'm proud of our guys, and we're doing some – you know, defensively, we didn't play a great first half, but we really settled in on the second half, and we're playing at a championship level for sure. And I tell you, our special teams have really kind of saved us the last couple of weeks. I mean, they've really come through. So I'm really pleased with that. Our punter, our kicker, and he's doing a lot of good things. And then offensively, you know, the positive is we 2 weeks in a row, we've taken care of the football. 2 weeks in a row, our quarterback has played his best game. He's really improving. You know, we got better in the red zone last week, scoring some touchdowns there. But the other positive was to run the football. You know, early part of the year, we weren't running the ball well, and now we are. Even with the first few games of really stinking in the run game, we're averaging 4.3 a carry, and, you know, that's exactly what we averaged in with our 2016 national championship team and more than our 11, 12, 13, and 14 teams. So we're doing a good job there, and it's creating some opportunities in the pass game. So that's kind of the next step for us is to you know, put it all together offensively, and it's been a frustrating thing because the guys are doing a lot of good things, but we're just, you know, not finishing some plays that are there and some of the routine stuff. So hopefully we can get that going, and we're gonna have to this week because this is a bunch that will absolutely force the issue and challenge you to make competitive plays. You're not gonna get any uncontested plays with the nature of how they play. So we got a huge challenge, but man, our guys are battling every single week. You know, a lot of guys, I think we got 16 scholarship guys that are unavailable. But man, we just keep having guys step up. I mean, last week we found out our center is out, and the kid that started at center hasn't played a snap all year. And he really played well. He had one snap, snapped it 20 yards over the head of the quarterback. That was not good, but that's what everybody kind of remembers. But he actually played really well. I was really proud of him. He's had a cast on his hand all year, so he had just gotten that off. And so hopefully 2 weeks in a row we're going to be able to have at least the same group up front, and hopefully can get some sense of some continuity in that offensive line, and because that affects your quarterback. But you know, biggest thing is these guys are competing their tails off. They really care, and you know, seeing them just battle and find a way to win is been awesome to watch.
You've played Pitt a couple times. You played for an ACC championship a couple years ago. They've made the road trip to Death Valley. Actually, last time you lost a home game with these guys kicking that 48-yarder back in 2016. But you've never been to Pittsburgh. Clemson has never ever stepped foot up there, beautiful Pittsburgh, PA. Any thoughts on that? I mean, that's kind of unusual in this day and age.
Well, I mean, it is, you know, especially for me. I've been all over, especially this league, and they've been in the league for a while. So it's kind of weird that we haven't been there yet, and we've played them three times already, twice here and then obviously in the ACC championship game. But I'm looking forward to it, and I've only been to Pittsburgh one time. I went when Justin Ross had his surgery up there, and I think Dr. O, who did his surgery, is going to be at the game, so I'm excited to see him. And, you know, hopefully Justin will have his best game, where he had this surgery. That would be kind of a cool moment. But I went up there for his surgery. I actually went over and saw Narduzzi and Mike Tomlin, their facilities there together, and that's a kind of unique setup. Saw the stadium but haven't been in it or any of that type of thing. So I'm looking forward to it. And a lot of great tradition there and a lot of great games, both collegiately and NFL. So it'll be a fun trip.
Kenny Pickett's playing great, isn't he? I mean, he's a great kid, and just to watch him develop, and, you know, this is, you know, he decided to come back. He could have gone to the NFL, worn a baseball cap, and tried to figure out a way to get in the starting lineup. I said, you know what, the college life is pretty good. Like, I still got some stuff to work on, and Man, he's made himself a ton of money by coming back. He's also given everybody a headache that's got to go up against him. But 21 touchdowns, one pick, smart, can throw, got great wide receivers, really good line, good tight end, good backs. I mean, this is a really, really talented offensive team.
You said it, man. He's made a ton of money. And, you know, this kid coming back, he was a great player last year and for his career, but – and I think he's the highest-ranked quarterback in college football right now, but he's a sixth-year player. I mean, this kid is smart as they come. He's poised. He's seen it all. The game is very slow to him. It really is. I mean, he is a guy that's ready and could be playing in the NFL who's still playing college football. I mean, he is a problem. Very poised. He's taking care of the football. He's got 21 touchdowns, one pick. And, you know, he doesn't get the credit for his, I mean, I think he's a true dual threat guy. I mean, he can move, and he's very smart with how he moves. And when he scrambles, there's usually a big play, you know, I mean, he will hurt you, throwing the football, but you know, they're going to run the ball. They got a couple backs that can run the ball and keep you honest, but they're built to throw. I mean, they're a pass first offense and, you know, you can't blame them. This kid is, you're putting the ball in his hands. They've got excellent receivers. At number three is probably the best, you know, player at that position that we've seen, you know. And you can't let them get comfortable. But they do a great job, and they're playing with a lot of precision. They've got a lot of experience. But he's a really good player, very accurate, and, again, very efficient with what he does. He's taking care of the ball. And that's probably the biggest thing. And I mean, he's putting the ball in the money. I mean, 21 touchdowns in six games. He's been special.
From an offensive standpoint, not to belabor the point, but this seems to be the week that, hey, you know what? You can't roll in there and think 17 is good enough. You'd like to, but you got to figure, hey, they're pretty dynamic offensively. This needs to be a good, really good week for the offense to break through.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to have to play our best game offensively to this point because, again, you're going against a group that if you keep giving them the ball, they're going to hurt you. You know, so it's got to be a complete performance by us, and you know, special teams has to continue to play well for us, and you know, win the game within the game. You know, the field position, the turnover margin. You know, let's be smart and disciplined, not have stupid penalties. You just don't want to do anything to give them something, you know, because they're going to be hard enough, you know, as it is. But it's a really good team. Again, they've gone to Tennessee and won, gone to Virginia Tech and won. You know, they're a confident group and well coached on both sides of the ball. So, but you know, hey, we're excited about heading up there and seeing if we can find a way to get it done.
Sounds good, Coach. Listen, stay safe, stay healthy for once if you can. I'm tired of reading about the injury report, for crying out loud. He's driving me crazy with all that stuff. Yeah. Stay healthy.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but, you know, listen, hey, we it's all about taking what you got and doing the best you can with it, and that's what we're going to do.
You got it. Best of luck this week. We'll touch base next week.
All right, Pat. See you, man.
That was Dabo Swinney yesterday on Off Campus. We'll get about we'll talk more about this game as the show goes on, but number one offense, number one defense, strength versus strength tomorrow.
It's going to be a party. It's going to be a party. I mean, those guys are going to have to play to win the game, and offensively for Clemson, going to have their best showing if they want to win. But I think Kenny Pickett, he's got plans in mind. He's got his plans in mind.
Big picture.
That's right.
Huge game for him. Huge game for the Tigers and the ACC, for that matter. All right, hour one done. Hour two comes up. Guess what? One stat per game. Telling you, we're going to cover every single ACC football game this weekend, conference and non-conference. All that is coming your way. Packer and Durham, Eric McClain, filling in for Wes. You guys right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.